Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime Yahoo Sports Radio. About once a week, we'd like to get you caught up on what's going on in the NBA as we head through the regular season and then also into the postseason. Josh Martin from Bleacher Report joins us to talk about the association. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tony?
Great. Thank you so much for your time. So the regular season game between Golden State and Cleveland could be what it actually was just a regular season game, nothing too big to take out of it. Is there anything more that we can take or should take out of that game against the Warriors?
Just that Cleveland has some work to do to get to the point where the Cavs can, you know, really feel comfortable at all as a championship contender. I mean, I think they're there just because they're clearly the best team in the East, but you know, coming out of the East is not going to be enough for this team, and certainly not going to be enough for LeBron James, who has represented the East in the finals the last 5 years, but only has, I guess I shouldn't say only, but has two titles to show for it. Clearly, there's some work to be done there. You know, defensively, the Cavs aren't quite there. I think, you know, some of their guys aren't performing so well, Timofey Mozgov in particular, but, you know, it's January. There's still a lot of time, and you figure Cleveland will be out on the market trying to see if they can make some deals to improve their team around the fringes. And
when you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, for Cleveland to try to get a title, they got to get to the title. Or is there any realistic threat from the Bulls or the Raptors or anybody else in the East?
It's tough to pick that out. You know, you figure that Chicago has the talent on paper to do that, but you know, with Joakim Noah now out, that kind of puts them in a tough spot, since Noah's really been the Bulls' heart and soul for so long now. The Raptors are going to have to prove it, because the last two seasons they've been in the playoffs and have been knocked out in the first round. Certainly you think the Heat, with their knowledge of LeBron and their veterans, that they'll have a good shot, and they've shown at times that they can handle some pretty good teams and play very well, especially defensively. And maybe Miami is the most legitimate, but still, big picture, it's tough to see any of these other teams in the East really giving the Cavaliers a run for their money.
And talk about that improvement, because we are seeing an Eastern Conference where it is not 1-2-3 and then a whole bunch of teams below 500 filling out the rest. Has this come gradually, or is this a little bit of a surprise that the East isn't filling out its playoff roster with some below 500 teams right now?
I guess it's sort of one of these things where it's about time, you know? After all these years where the East has had so many bad teams, but that's what the draft is all about, where the bad teams are supposed to get the better picks, which means they're supposed to get the better young players, which means to develop into good teams. And certainly that's the case with Detroit, with Andre Drummond, and they traded for Reggie Jackson, so they built themselves a nice team. And but the other teams, really, Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, Indiana, Toronto in particular, these are teams that have been pretty good in recent years. But the rest of the conference, with, you know, Orlando coming on now, Washington still hanging around there, and certainly New York with Kristaps Porzingis, these are teams that are certainly improving to an extent now, where, you know, the East may not finish with 10 or 11 teams above 500, but you'd think we'll reach the finish line with 8 teams above 500, just enough to fill out their playoff spots.
Let's go to the West. We talked about Golden State and that game against Cleveland, but here's San Antonio. They've won 11 in a row. They're perfect at home. A little under the radar, but given the extent and the popularity of what Golden State is doing. But this San Antonio team, Josh, is it same old Greg Popovich, same old Spurs, maybe a couple of different contributions, or are they playing a little different?
You know, it's same old Spurs. If you mean by old, you mean, you know, the Tim Duncan, David Robinson era Spurs. They don't play as fast as they have in recent years, because this isn't really Tony Parker's team anymore. The Spurs are in the bottom 10 of the league in pace right now. They still pass the ball beautifully, and they pass the ball pretty much more than anyone else in the league, but they're doing it more in the half court, where they're running things through LaMarcus Aldridge. They're running things through Kawhi Leonard. And what's so interesting about the Spurs team, and I think what makes them so dangerous, is that even if those two guys aren't playing at a high level, and with Danny Green kind of struggling all season, they can still turn on occasion to Tony Parker to have a big game like he did against Cleveland, or Tim Duncan to come up big with some boards up front when he needs to, or Manu Ginobili coming off the bench with some strong games of his own, that there's just so many ways that the Spurs can beat you now that you figure as the season goes along and as LaMarcus Aldridge gets more and more comfortable and as Kawhi Leonard gets more and more acclimated to being the man in San Antonio, that this team will even continue to improve. And this is already a team that leads the league in point differential.
Josh Martin, Bleacher Report, as we talk NBA. Give us an idea about Oklahoma City. Are their role players, because we always know about Westbrook and Durant, are they a more complete team than just those two guys? Is Billy Donovan doing some things different than Scott Brooks did?
There's an interesting stat I saw from Royce Young at ESPN about how the Thunder this year have 4 games of 30 assists or more, and they've had 10 of those total since 2012-2013, so clearly there's something getting through there. We've seen Russell Westbrook become much more of a passer this year, 9.6 assists, a career high for him. And they've got a really strong cast around KD and Russ, and as Cantor had a season-high 25 in Denver, he's been nice for them. And I think Cameron Payne has really come on as OKC's backup point guard. He's done some nice things for them. But at the end of the day, look, if you've got KD and you've got Russ, two of the most dynamic players in the league, you don't have to do anything fancy. Just give them the ball and let them put pressure on a defense and let everything else sort of trickle down from there.
The Los Angeles Clippers are winning a lot of games without Blake Griffin, and a lot of people look at their schedule and go, yeah, but, you know, if you look, it's not against some of the better competition in this league. Is it that simple, or is there something else going on in Los Angeles?
You know, during that 10-game win streak, the Clippers really didn't play anyone of note. And then, of course, they lost to a pretty good team to end that streak. So there's something to that. But at the end of the day, if you look at the way the Clippers are playing, I think it's more indicative than who they've been playing. Their offense in particular has really taken off since Blake's been out. It's sort of opened the floor a little bit for them with Paul Pierce at the four. You know, now instead of opposing defenses really being able to crowd the middle of the floor with Blake playing at the elbow, things are stretched out a bit more with Paul Pierce sitting behind the three-point line. That opens up more driving lanes for Chris Paul. That opens up more lob opportunities for DeAndre Jordan. So they played a bit more wide open. And certainly I think the bench has come on a lot stronger. Jamal Crawford's played well. I think Cole Aldrich has established himself as worthy of a spot in Clippers rotation. Wesley Johnson has had some nice games. And Pablo Prigioni, like Aldrich, has pushed his way into things for the Clippers all the while. Lance Stephenson and Josh Smith are sitting back. So I think the Clippers now have started to figure some things out about how they can play and what they're capable of with this roster with Blake out. But realistically, the Clippers aren't going to challenge the best teams in the West unless Blake is out there healthy and doing what he does.
You know, I know it's early and we got a lot of long way to go, but Josh, is this like a three and a half team race to the finals with Golden State, San Antonio, the Cavaliers, and then maybe Oklahoma City? Or are there some more surprises coming?
I think that's what it's going to come down to. The only other team that you would think might have any sort of shot outside of those four would be the Clippers. But, you know, the way this team has gone and, you know, the way that Chris Paul has kind of taken a step back to a certain extent this season, you wonder if they're really fit for that, but who knows? If they can find some help at three where they've been starting Luke Richard and Bamute, that might change things. But ultimately, I think it really, if you want to break it down even more granularly, it's Golden State and San Antonio at the top, and then it's Cleveland because the Cavs are probably going to be in the finals anyway, and then it's Oklahoma City, and then it's everyone else after that, which isn't really a bad thing. Because you think about most years, usually it's, you know, maybe two or three teams that you think are really capable of competing for the title. It's really not all that out of the ordinary to be down to three or three and a half teams at this point in the season who you think really have a shot at capturing the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Josh Martin, Bleacher Report. Always great talking to you, my friend. Good stuff. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Tony.
And again, three teams. I mean, look, if you want to throw in the Oklahoma City Thunder, you can. That would make it 3.5. But yeah, we're down to three teams. Cleveland, Golden State, San Antonio. That's about it in the NBA. Doesn't mean there's good storylines. I mean, if the Knicks make the playoffs, that's always something to look at. Kobe's final year and a terrible year for the Lakers with saying goodbye to Kobe Bryant. But if you're looking at titles, it's pretty much three teams, and that's it. We'll talk about that next. Yahoo Sports Radio.